Lord, we just thank you for another good evening tonight. We ask, Lord, that you lead us, guide us, and let your revelations come forth, Lord. We're going to talk about some good stuff tonight. And Lord, we just thank you for it. We thank you for answered prayer. And thank you, Lord, for all the good people that are on here. We're all coming into that one accord. And we know that when we pray, things happen. We just praise you, Lord, Father. We thank you tonight's going to be special because every night we get together is special. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I tell you what, let's do. Let's pray for Lenny. Tonight is the night that they have their, what do they call it when you go in and see the showing. And there'll be a lot of people there. So, Father, we lift up Lenny to you. We also lift up Alexa. We ask, Lord, that you send him back down, that the revival would start tonight, and that whatever it is that they're having up, like that thing, Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that our faith, coupled with his faith, it's going to bring him back. And not only that, Lord, it's going to bring a lot of folks to you, Lord, that have been in the apostate religion for so long. And we just praise you, Father, that tonight's the night. And Lord, we thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that we can call back out Alexa to his body in the name of Jesus, and it'll be done. We do that right now in the name of Jesus. We call him back. Come back out, Alexa, to your body in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And let everything be restored as new in the name of Jesus. And let the unbelievers become believers tonight. And Father, we praise you and we thank you that revival will start right there in Missouri, wherever they are. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I believe that. How about y'all? Y'all believe it? Yeah, go ahead, Denny.
Yeah, I'm unmuted. Okay. Yeah, I just want to read in Matthew 10:8, why we can, you know, as believers, we can want to raise the dead, you know. It says, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give. So it's just like one of the things on the list. Raise the dead. So thank you, Father.
Amen. I believe it's happened too. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, freely you receive, freely give. Thank you, Father. That's what we do. And we all believe it too. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request or would like to pray about something? Well, if you'd like to pray for Lynn and Alexa, go right ahead. Whatever. Don't everybody crowd in here at one time, okay? Back off a little bit here. Back off. Give me some air.
I'd like to pray that Jeff Epstein, I think his name is, not be suicided there in prison.
Okay. Go ahead.
That he'll be. Lord, I just pray that you will. I thank you, Lord, that you are going to. Thwart the plans. We thwart those plans of the enemy to try to silence this guy's voice, and that he will have to testify and bring some truth to life, Lord, to light. I mean, and I just pray, Lord, that this darkness will be uncovered and be dealt with, at least to some extent, at this time. And I thank you, Lord, that your plans will prevail and that the dark side will not be able to silence his voice. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that right now we send your angels out there to protect him, to keep him from harm, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that they're going to get everything on film that they need to get. We praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the full testimony of this man, breaking him down. And Lord, we just ask if you can grant, if you would grant him repentance, do that. We ask that in the name of Jesus, too. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anybody else? Do you have your hand up, Matt? Okay, go ahead, brother.
I'm just going to pray for Leonid, too. Lord, I just ask that you put great and bold faith in Leonid, Father. Lord, that your peace would be upon him, Lord. That you would encourage him, Lord, Father, and just be there by his side, Lord. We thank you for doing that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you that your gift of miracles will be in operation upon Leonid tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, Messiah. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? I'll tell you what, I'm getting excited because I believe that we're going to see this stuff happen tonight. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Does anybody not believe that? Raise your hand. No, don't do that. Raise your hand. All right. Anyone else? How about a praise report? Or a testimony? I got one. 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, Alexis comes alive in Jesus' name. I declare it, decree it. What y'all think? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's an hour from now. Or 45 minutes from now. Y'all know that Leonard listens to the outreach, and I've gotten text from him how encouraged he's been by the prayers that we prayed for him, all of y'all. Have prayed for him during this trial that he's been through. Go ahead, Judy.
Don isn't on, is he? Well, I wanted to give Marlene's testimony.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, one of the ladies here at our in our fellowship, Marlene Laughlin, her hearing just left her ears a couple months ago. She just couldn't hear for 2 months, but she just hung in there, stayed in the rest, prayed and thanked God. And Friday, she was eating breakfast, and all of a sudden, her ears just popped. She looked around, she said, "Everybody's screaming." Here, all of a sudden. So it was so neat. She's kind of been hearing a little bit for the last week, a little bit more each time, but she said she felt and heard a pop in her ear. So, and her ear is restored even better than it was. That's true. Both ears.
She had a little problem with the left ear to begin with, didn't she?
Uh-huh.
Don always complained that he couldn't talk with her in the car because she could never hear him.
Yeah, but that's okay.
I said, sometimes that's a blessing. You know what I'm talking about? All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for her complete healing in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Yeah, Marlene's a good gal. I like her. All right. She can cook, too. I like her, too. All right. Anybody else? Hi, Megan.
Hi.
How's Texas? Is it hot down there?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I expect it is down there. It's a little bit cool up here. All right, anybody else? What else we got here? Anybody else got a testimony or praise report or comment on anything that's been happening? There's been a lot of activity in Washington, D.C. this month. August, during August, Congress goes on vacation, praise the Lord. And during this month, a lot of things are going to happen, I believe. It looks like a lot of things. Trump's going to get a lot of stuff done. So, Lord, I just ask and I pray right now, Father, that you give him wisdom, as you have in the past. Give him continued wisdom into what to do, how to do it, and when to do it, Lord. And I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give him protection and wisdom and this great backbone that you've given this man to go ahead and do and say whatever it is that needs to be said and not worry about the people that are around him, some kind of political correctness. He don't care about political correctness. All he cares about is seeing the people of this country done right. And he's doing it. I thank you for it, Father, and I thank you for draining the swamp that has kept people in bondage, like people in Baltimore, Los Angeles, St. Louis, Chicago, all of those places, Father, that are run by the Democratic Party. They're all in abject poverty and fear because of the way they're being run, of the corruption that exists in New York City, in all of those places, Father. I thank you, Lord, that there's going to be a great change in those cities, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. There was 8 deaths and 20 shootings in Baltimore just this last couple of days, this past weekend. I don't know how many in Chicago. Yeah, Missy.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. 8 deaths in Baltimore about what?
Saturday and Sunday. Saturday and Sunday. 8 deaths and 20 assaults with a gun that was shot, you know. I don't know how many was in Chicago. It's probably more than that. And Trump looks like he's really bringing attention to that now with these tweets that he does. I love his tweets, man. It just gets the left so wild. I just don't know how to handle him. He gets them all stirred up.
I have a question. When you said you believe Trump's going to get a lot done in August because Congress is gone, does that what that says to me that he's going to be signing a lot of executive orders? I don't know.
I think more on the line of rounding up people.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. That's what we've seen in in back streets of news, you know. that's what he's got planned is to, matter of fact, what's that judge's name? Joe Denise? Ever what his name is. Joe. You remember him.
DeGeneva.
Yeah, that guy. That's him.
DeGeneva.
Yeah, he said that August is a pivotal month, that he's going to start rounding them up, but it's going to take a while. August, September, and October is going to be some high activity in the arrest realm of the deep state. They're focusing on Brenner, Clinton, Obama, and some others. Cabinet. A lot of wrongdoings went on in there, and they apparently have the proof now, and they're just going to bide their time until it's time to do it. Elijah Cummings is also in trouble, too, by the way. He's been tweeting, acting ugly toward Trump, and Trump just tweets back at him and said, look, you need to clean up your old backyard before you come after me. And he's right. Been a lot of money that's been funneled into Baltimore that hadn't gotten to the people, that's gotten into people's pocket. And that's what he was hinting toward. He said, Lord, we thank you for for putting a light on all this stuff in Jesus' name. Okay. Anybody else? Because that's enough about news. Unless somebody else has got some good news about something. Tonight, I believe it was David Nelson. Where is David? Where you at, David? We were going to talk about the commandments of Jesus and the law. How many of you listen to Sunday night's broadcast? Well, if you listen to Sunday night's broadcast, you got the answer. If you didn't listen to it, you ain't got the answer. Unless you listen to something else. Okay. Hang on just a second. Does anybody want to start out on that particular topic?
I was listening. I'm only partway through. I just heard the Sabbath part, but it's awesome, awesome teaching. It's good to hear this stuff, because a lot of us have grown up in situations where we have that Judaized, you know, the kind of the old covenant type of mentality and thinking. I mean, it's really good, because some of us need to have this stuff really drilled out of us, you know. So, as opposed to being drilled into us, because we've spent many, many, many years in systems that are kind of a amalgamation between old covenant, new covenant. I mean, it's really sad. The consequences of that is really pretty severe. So.
Okay, go ahead, Pat.
Michael, can I? Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
Can I take a moment here? Before we start into this, I just want to. Lord has kind of been dealing with me here in the last few weeks since I got back from. We took a trip, vacation down to Nashville, and I just wanted to make a confession and kind of get squared away here with the Lord. I know it's message that we had the last few weeks has been hitting my heart as well. And I just feel the need to make a certain confession to the group. And I was, as I was thinking on it this morning, I felt the need just to, it was 1 John 1:7 was being very enlightening to me, I guess you might say, that if we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And I think David even spoke related to that. If it wasn't Sunday night, I think it must have been Wednesday night as well. But when I went down to, we went over to my brothers and sisters, my in-laws in Ohio, and then drove down to Nashville and actually went to a concert, went to the Country and Western Hall of Fame or whatever it is down there, whatever, even though I'm not a country and Western fan. I certainly went through the museum. It was kind of interesting. But to one of the problems I've been dealing with, I know this is one of my prayers and one of the things that I've been dealing with that where I cast out demons related to that, and that was this insecurity or sense of shyness or sense of a lack of boldness and insecurity in social environments and whatnot. And it just seemed to like attack me through this process. When I went down there, the group that I was with, we went to a concert. We went through bars, going down through different bars and having drinks, having beer and whatnot. Went through the block by block to visit, you know, see all the sites, etc. And I was very, well, I'm just making a confession of that. Just really, the Lord struck my heart with it, just a regret that I wasn't standing, in the truth, standing in righteousness. There was an insecurity. I wanted to be in with the group, don't want to be make anybody feel uncomfortable that I wasn't participating with the group and that whole scenario. So in the process, I think one day we got tired of walking, you know, going around and seeing the restaurants and the sites and the museums and all this, and just stayed home and literally stayed in the motel and just ended up binge watching TV for 2 or 3 hours. And lo and behold, I got involved watching this. We were watching this show with various different, rape scenes and all sorts of things like that. And I would fast forward through the process, but it doesn't you still have those images that flash in between your eyes as you're pushing through all that stuff. So I just as I come home and I confess that to the Lord and claimed his confession, claimed his forgiveness from 1 John 1:9, I saw it as really the need to just bring it out in the open to the group for seeing the need just to walk in that light of confession as well as speaking forth and confessing it to the Lord. So the other thing that I was dealing with after that was the accusations of and the fear of even speaking forth this confession tonight, in that I would be rejected or criticized or whatever the thing, rejected from the group, and I would be looked down on and cast down, and all of the various different accusations that came through. So I cast that down to the ground as well. And the Lord was, as I was speaking about that, or thinking about that this morning, I'm sorry, I'm in the midst of work now, and they're throwing text messages at me and whatnot. So, I realized that I started batting down those accusations as they came. The first being that I was bought with a price and I am no longer my own. And I don't have the right to accept condemnation from an accusation from the devil, because it is Christ who purchased me, and he is the only one, if any, that has the right to condemn. And he already condemned my sin at the cross. So I claimed that and am claiming that and standing on that. The other thing that flashed before my mind this morning as I was pondering this was that dream that I had. It was really the dream that kind of brought me back into the UBM conference calls, and I don't remember if I think it's alluded to it one night or whatever, but it was the dream the Lord gave me about the bear charging past a large bear running past the door that I was looking out of, and then I'm not going to recite it. Does everybody remember what that was? And then the large bear running by, and then followed by a herd of smaller white bears running behind them, and then that very last little stumbling puppy after everything else was had gone past. That little stumbling puppy or cub that was running behind, all eager to follow the pack but couldn't keep up and fell and stumbled and just constantly got up and moved and fell and stumbled. About every third step, it was running so fast that it was running faster than its legs could carry it. And I remember at that time thinking, that's me, that one that has, to a certain degree, wasted or spent a whole lifetime following after God to a certain extent, but not really maturing into the gifts that God has provided for us. And so, but getting back up and running after the crowd, even as small and as immature and as ill-prepared as I am, and then I saw, when I looked at that little stumbling cub, and there was just coming through me a heart of compassion and pity and love that was so encouraging. I remember I just wanted to run down off of that porch and scoop that little thing up in my arms and run after that pack and taking with me. And I realized that that was the Lord and his compassion looking through my eyes at that little stumbling cub. And in that, I took a heart of thankfulness and gratefulness come pouring through me as I realized that wherever we are in this path of life, and wherever we think we are, the Lord is well able to take us where we're at now and take us where we need to be. And even though I felt very discouraged, and I tend to condemn myself more than the devil does probably, I take courage and I take hope and faith in the fact that God has prepared and provided the environment, the very environment that I am and that we're all in. All of us are in the environment that God has prepared for us. And even if we struggle and if we fall and fail, it's the environment that he created for us, and he knows that we can overcome even as he overcame. He knows we can do it. And if we just hold on, I believe that God will take us through this process, take me through this process, and bring me into that place of the fullness of Christ and the filling of the Holy Spirit, the perfection of the saints. I believe that he is wanting to do that in each one of our lives. I know that I tend to get bogged down when you guys seem to be very, I can't think of another word, but very fluent in trusting God to direct you in the scriptures and randomly open the Bible and put your finger down and whatnot. And I have not been quite as successful at that as you guys do. And listening to your prayers and listening to your casting out demons and commanding things to happen in the spirit, I know that I don't come from that realm where I had been comfortable in doing that. Again, that small stumbling cub that I dreamt about, it was not just a dream. There's a certain amount of reality. I didn't come through that path, through that filled, Holy Spirit-filled, tongues environment. I came through the conservative or whatever non-spirit-filled section of Christianity. I came through that path. But regardless, I didn't come through that path because I chose it. I chose to come that way. God led me through that path for a particular reason. And he has his purposes for how he's led us. So I can only trust that he will bring forth all of that within me in its proper timing, and I'm trusting him for it. So Sorry if I tended to ramble, but anyway, I had to get that off my chest and just ask for your prayers, and that's it. Thank you.
Amen. Hang on, Sue, hang on just a minute.
Okay.
Pat, you confessed your sin and before men, and the Lord says when you do that, he's confessed you before the Father, so there should be no condemnation from now on in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it. We command all condemnation to go from in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for restoring it back even better than it was before. We thank you for bold, great and bold faith to be infused in Pat. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that every time this opportunity comes up, that he'll see Jesus. And he will stand with Jesus. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing a mighty good work in Pat, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so go ahead.
Pat, I believe the Lord's given me this song for you and for anybody else that's struggling in the same way. So, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for thee. He will be your guide. Hold you closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. And I know that there's more people out there that are going to be coming in that will want to catch up too. And I believe that's what the latter rain could be all about. Amen.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
I wanted to pray for Pat.
Yeah.
Pat, you know what, I believe the Lord is, and I've seen this before, and I've, in my prayer time, I've prayed this for you. I command the spirit of failure and fear of failure out of my brother Pat in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. This thing has to go. It has no legal right to be there. When we confess our sins, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And we command this thing to go in Jesus' name. It is not going to hinder Pat. It's not going to hold him back. It's not going to be keeping him looking at himself and his past and past failures because we learn from our failures. That's how we learn, is going through the test. And all things are working together for good because you love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So, Lord, I just thank you that Pat is delivered from this spirit, the demon of failure and fear of failure. And, Lord, in his place, I retain just the fullness of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon Pat. That Pat is just lifting his hands up to you, Lord, and receiving the fullness of your comfort, your grace, your peace, your joy, your love, your righteousness, the fullness of redemption, everything that Jesus has redeemed for Pat. And, Lord, I just thank you and praise you for this deliverance in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, I believe. Yeah, Missy.
Well, I wasn't going to share this, but I felt like the Lord says, this will help Pat feel better. confess my own sin. Anyway, the Lord showed me that I had gotten into some judging and unforgiveness, and I didn't know it until earlier today, but because this morning I woke up with one of those headaches, and I finally thought, well, Lord, is this because I need to repent of something. Long story short, that's what he showed me. And I just want to pray for Pat too. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that like your word says, when we confess our sins, you're faithful and righteous to forgive us. And you spank us, you show us, Lord, because you love us. If you didn't love us, you wouldn't convict us and get our attention by allowing us to come under the curse, even if it's just for a little bit, Lord, until you wake us up and we realize that we've sinned, Lord. And we just thank you for washing us and cleansing us from our sin and taking it away, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're strengthening us all to be obedient to you, Lord. Thank you for showing us, Lord, allowing us to stumble, Lord. Sometimes we don't know things are there until you bring things across our path, Lord. But Lord, that with each time, sometimes we struggle, Lord, and we keep doing the same thing, but you bring things at us at different angles, Lord, that we see these things that are in us, and we just thank you for loving us. We thank you, Lord, for loving Pat and showing him all that you have shown him, Lord, so that he can repent and be right with you and go on. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for loving us all so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, fill him up with your Holy Spirit. And that tonight, from the rest of the night on, he's going to have the joy of the Lord and the peace and the rest that you want us all to have. Lord, I'm asking and I'm praying, Lord, that you do that for Pat. Give him a great sense of joy because you're there leading him, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise you, Father. I command that headache to go from Missy right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? George, how you doing?
I was just thinking about that joy, how for the joy set before him, Christ went to the cross, knowing that he was redeeming and buying back all of our sins and mankind, and how that same joy, if we can tap into it, we can take up our cross and carry it and be joined with him and enjoy the journey. No matter what's going on, we can know that we're yoked with Jesus and nothing else matters. Our first love, you know, when we first got saved, it didn't matter if we had a life beyond that at all, because in him was all that matters. And that's where we need to stay tapped into, is in Christ, because we were crucified with him, and it's no longer we that live, it's Christ that lives in and through us. So there is no I, there is no me, there is no plans, there is no, you know, in him we live and move and have our being.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, all right. Pat, we love you, brother. All right. Anyone else got something they'd like to share? Thanks for the song, Sue. I sang it a long way. We could be a good duet here, I think. Maybe not. I don't know. No. Joe says, no.
The That's funny you said that, because I was singing another song with Judy, because what George said was, in him we live and move. And that song came to me, in him we live and move and have our being, in him we live and move and have our being. Make a joyful noise, sing unto the Lord, tell him of his love, dance before him. Make a joyful noise, sing unto the Lord, tell him of his love, hallelujah. And then you keep going.
You know, how many songs do you and Debbie know, for goodness sake? Somebody can say something, and you say, oh, man, I remember this song about that, and just fly off into it. I have trouble with, you know, Yankee Doodle, for goodness sake.
That's what the Lord's given me. He's given me, you know, like scriptures. When you get scriptures, they come to your head, you know. It's the same thing with the songs, because I've been in music ministry. There's something he's put in me. I didn't, not me.
Yeah, I know what you mean. That does to me too sometimes.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Well, that's a gift, I tell you. It's a gift. It's a good gift. You two girls sing good together also. Debbie and Sue do. They sing real good together. That's a great duet. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I'd just like to encourage Brother Pat. You know, the devil puts those thoughts in us, and then he puts the condemnation on us, Pat. And we've all been there, and I'm like you, brother. I didn't come up through a spirit-filled anything. I came up, you know, I was a heathen until a few years ago when I discovered David, growing in the gifts, and you know, we fall down. We pick ourselves back up and we go. The important thing that I've learned, and you know, through the teachings and through studying and fellowshipping, is that we progress forward, fall down, we get up and we go again, you know, and don't be condemning yourself over it. You know, you learn and you do better next time. And you're part of this body, and we're all, you know, praying for you and supporting you, and you know, praying for your healing, and we love having you here, man. So thank you for everything you say. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray for something. Yeah, go ahead, Denny. We'll pray for after that.
Yeah, Pat. Yeah, yeah. We're praying with for you, Pat, and I know you're an overcomer. You believe that, so. But sometimes it's helpful when you have a day like that. I mean, go back over it and think about, where did you miss the Lord along the way? And like, if I had to do this tomorrow, if I was going through this same day tomorrow, I would do this, you know. And you know, it's, you know, not getting that drink, having a Coke instead of a beer, or whatever the things, whatever you came across, you know, whether with the TV, maybe just no, saying no to the TV, and just kind of be ready for the next time, because when you may come across this test again, and set yourself up now that I'm going to overcome everything that I, you know, failed in, I'm going to overcome it next time. So, yeah.
Amen. Ask the Lord to give you that strength, brother. Amen. Okay. Somebody else had their hand up. Who was it? Yeah, Tim.
As Denny was speaking, I was reminded of my testimony, you know, probably about a year ago, where I said something at work, and I got home, and I was just, I can't do that. I'm no better than that. I'm not going to let that happen again. And about 3 days later, I did the exact same thing, and oh my word, you know, I beat myself in the head because I promised I wasn't going to, you know, fall again. And I tripped and I slipped and I, you know, hit that same pebble again. And, but you get up and you know, you do better next time. So praise the Lord.
Amen. That's right. You just pick yourself up, allow the Lord to give you the strength, ask him to give you the strength, and he'll do it. I know that for a fact. It's been a long time since I stumbled. I think it was a couple hours ago. When I got over it, I overcame it, praise God. Yeah. That's something we all go through, is this overcoming. It's an experience that God puts in us to get on the other side of it. When you get on the other side of it, you say, man, that wasn't no big deal. After you get through it, you know. But boy, while you're going through it, it seems like a big deal. Okay, anybody here? Yeah, go ahead, George.
I just want to preach to myself and remind myself that the devil is a liar and that we are more than overcomers in Christ Jesus, and that the victory and everything that he's done to disarm and pluck and make helpless the enemy and all his cohorts, that he was given all authority. Therefore, go. He sends us out into the world, harmless as doves and wise as serpents, and that we have so much more power and so much more authority available, and that we are way, way, way more than we think about ourselves, and the enemy knows it, and God knows it, and God's thoughts towards us are victory, 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 victory. And that if we will take our eyes off ourselves and find somebody else in worse shape and apply every breath and every ounce of faith and anything we've got, and we will sow anything we can give, that we will keep reaping a harvest, that God is giving seed to the sower. And if we don't have anything, we've got the amount of faith that God has given us, and we can give that back to God, and we can apply it to our brothers and sisters who are hurting, and we can pour our life out like an offering to God, and the body of Christ is mending and knitting and becoming stronger, and the ranks are tightening up, and the war's going on, but we're winning and winning and winning. We can't do anything but win, and the enemy is a liar.
Amen. I agree with George. Thank you, Lord. Ditto. All right. Anybody else? Joe D., can I pray for you? Joe, yeah, you're Joe. Yeah, Joe D. The brother. Well, Father, I lift up Joe to you. Lord, he's struggling. He's going through a hard time right now. But it's not hard. We've all been through it. We've made it through it. And on the other side, we just thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring him through this with an ease that he didn't think was possible. And Father, we ask and we pray that you give him rest in his heart to believe that God can do anything. And it's not up to us, it's up to him. We put our trust in him completely. And Lord, I thank you for the work you're doing in Joe. Father, there was a time when I saw Joe, he was struggling so much. And now he don't struggle near as hard as he used to. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for maturing him, giving him great and bold faith to believe you, Lord, and starting to trust you. I thank you, Lord, for the good job you've gotten him. I thank you, Lord, that this job is going to be an awesome testimony to Joe's overcoming power in the flesh and in the world. And, Lord, I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, you are making a mighty man of God out of Joe, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise you, Father, for that. Glory be to God. Yep, it's going to be fine, Joe. Amen. Everybody believe that? Amen. Me too. I believe it. You know, when you got a bunch like this praying for you, there ain't nothing to worry about, nothing. You know what I'm talking about? You shouldn't have no left mind about nothing. You shouldn't. You shouldn't mind nothing because you got brothers and sisters here that love you and have the power of prayer behind them. And when you got the power of God behind you, oh, glory to God. I'm telling you, so you have something like we had last night. And that's all I'm going to say about that. We're going to tell you. Last night during praise and worship, I saw, and I think some more people did too, I saw angels flying around in gold robes. I've never seen that before, but they were in gold robes. And then I saw the Lord Jesus. He was in a bright white garment, but he had a blue shirt on, a royal blue shirt on underneath his, whatever you call it, tunic or something. I don't know. But anyway, he was right in the middle of the fellowship last night. Big. So, man, I was heartened by that. Thank you, Jesus. We're getting the victory, folks. We're getting the victory. We are the victory. Praise God. Okay. Anybody else got a testimony or a praise report or a comment? Yeah, go ahead.
This morning, when I mentioned that I had various different success in randomly selecting verses, or at least maybe understanding verses as an answer to my prayer. But anyway, this morning it kind of fit in. And my prayer was, Father, would you give me strength and power in your word to make my confession and receive the filling of your Holy Spirit? Would you grant me the rest in the balance of the truth of your word in my life? And I was looking for I guess that rest of that comes in the confidence of understanding and resting in that specific word that God is providing or applying or enlightening you to me to at that time. So I opened the Bible and put my finger down in Ecclesiastes 12:14, but I wanted to read verse 13 as well. And it said, this is the end of the matter. All hath been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment with every hidden thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And I was just thinking about the privilege that we have, that God has given us, that day of judgment will come and every one of us will stand in that time of judgment. And God has given us the ability, the privilege, to bring those items, those hidden things, to light now and bring them and bring his judgment, his consideration, to put those things out and to come in agreement with his word now while we are still in this life. And it just was another one of those things of evidence that the Lord just put on me this morning. But just the thought of the privilege of walking in that light now, the light of the truth, good or bad, taking it, walking with it, making confession, opening our lives up to the Lord, and allowing Him to transform us by the power of His Word. So I just wanted to, that was one of the times when I was able to really make the connection in that random selection of verses. So I just wanted to share that.
Sound like God talking to you, brother. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Okay. David Nelson has suggested that we talk about, can y'all hear me okay?
Let me get the
professional microphone out here. That we talk about Jesus' commandments and as opposed to the Old Testament law. And what was interesting about it, David actually taught on that Sunday night, which I someone had to tell me because I hadn't listened to it yet. But anyway, but I have now. I listened to it after I was told. Listened to it and got some good information off of it. All right, let's just open it up for discussion. Did anybody have anything to say about the old covenant versus the new covenant, or the old? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
Well, I always thought that the book of Galatians was a good place to go for that kind of stuff, since they had some problems with the Jewish people trying to bring things in. And I just put in a verse here, like Galatians 3:2. It's what Paul said that he agreed with. First of all, where he said, this only would I learn from you, receive ye the Spirit from works of law or from hearing of faith. And, the Lord makes a reference in another verse somewhere. I don't know exactly where it is, but it talks about that no man ever disliked his own body. So you have a different self now. It's a spirit that's Christ in you. And this spirit that's Christ in you is the end of that law. So that's how... that's how it comes to you. It comes to you not by hearing the law, or you hear by faith, you know. And that's not just for something that would be on a behavior or a ceremonial law. It's with everything when you hear his voice. You know, I also went on and put in 3:3 where it says, are ye so foolish, having begun in spirit, are ye now perfected in flesh? So, and then there's 3:5 that says, who therefore supplieth you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you? Is it from works of law, or from hearing of faith? I'm sure people have had small things happen to them. You know, they pray for finding their keys and they get that. You know, they pray for finding your little son's toy in a big grassy field and you find it. And there's smaller things, you know, that some of the times you pray for these smaller things, and it makes you kind of wonder, well, how does the Lord view these small things compared to what we think is a big thing, you know? And well, you know, all these in there's a lot of stuff here in Galatians, you know. But and of course, chapter 3 is where we all know the verse we probably quote quite often is Galatians 3:13. But I'd also like to read a verse that I borrowed from our last discussion about the Holy Spirit. And that verse is in 16, 13 to 15. But when that one comes, the Spirit of the truth, and of course he's referring to the Holy Spirit here, he shall guide us into all the truth. For he shall not speak from himself, but what things soever he heareth, these shall he speak, and he shall declare to you the things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall declare it to you. All things whatsoever the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he taketh of mine and declareth it to you. And of course, he's going to declare everything he possibly can to you. Anything from being corrected to finding your keys and so on. So I sometimes don't know why it doesn't always happen, like when you know, when you ask for something and, you know, I'm sure everyone gets tempted here quite a bit. And so I had to look up a song even today at work on the internet. And because, you know, I didn't grow up with these songs. So this is like, I never heard this song, and it's It Will Be Worth It All. And I found some group from the Church of God singing it. It was a real interesting song. But what I got from it was then and now. So it's something you do now. It's not just something you're waiting for when you get there, because you're supposed to get there here. Or so I'm told, you're supposed to get to heaven here. So it was a kind of an eye-opening song. And, you know, the Galatians, you know, have a lot. You know, there's Galatians 4, 5, and 6. And then there's the Galatians of the free woman and the bond woman. But there was a real cool verse. I know it was said on the conference call because I copied it at work and I found some of my notes at work. So I had a lot of free time at work today. So it was Psalm 54:1. And it just, you know, it could speak to people because it's just a very short verse. And save me, O God, by thy name. And judge me by thy strength. Thy name, save me by thy name, and by thy strength judge me. Not my power or strength, but God's strength judge me. So what is that? That has to be different for every person, because we're not all apostles. And I just looked at it, you know, I was going, well, the name, we all have his name to you know, and you know, of course, I thought of Revelation 19:13. The name of Christ is the Word of God. But how much of this Word of God, of His name, do we have? Like, well, we have someone who backs the deposit that He gave to us. Even though we're supposed to guard our deposit, He's going to back our deposit too. So, I have to say that, you know, I need a lot of help myself. I'm still trying to come over something, and I don't know why it doesn't go away. You know, like, there was a time I told everyone here about being sick all night and going, throwing up in the toilet all night, and just sitting in front of the door and saying, I'm going to work today. And before I left the door, I went the last time to the bathroom and then left and then prayed to God for mercy, and I got mercy at work from my boss, and I didn't puke again. So I don't know why it just does work sometimes. And you know, the time where I witnessed that I started going to the grocery store, to the Giant Tiger discount store here, and it looked like it was drizzling rain, you know, and I went, oh, I'm going back in the house. I can't go through this. But you know, I already prayed that it wouldn't rain on me. And I actually felt someone actually turn me back around and says, you're going to the store. That was weird, you know, like, I don't know if it was an angel or something. He just went, no, Andrew. And it was like a do-si-do. He turned me right around and you're going. So I repented. And, you know, I started walking to the store there, and it was misty. And then it cleared up. You know, I was walking under the trees there. It's about 3 or 4 blocks away from here. And then the sun started coming out, you know, and the Lord did it all. And I said, Lord, I'm going to be in this store. I'm not going to rush with my shopping for groceries and whatever else I need. It's like a smaller Walmart. And, you know, I went and I did my shopping at leisure, you know, and you know, I think back on that and I go, how did that ever happen, you know? When I'm such a goof up in so many other things, you know. And I go, well, yeah, I'm the goof up, but the Lord certainly isn't. And, you know, then I got back out there and I said, oh, what if it rains, you know? And I'm, no, it can't rain, you know. And I walked all the way back and I said, Lord, you can let it rain when I get home. And I said, but Lord, if there's any other person out there praying for no rain for some same reason, Lord, you hold it off till he gets home too. And I walked through the front door, put my groceries on the table, start taking it all out, putting it all away in the cupboard and in the fridge, whatever soaps or whatever I had that day. And then I sat in this chair, looked out the window, and it just, a downpour started. And that was kind of cool. So I look back on these things and I try to apply them for whatever else I'm going through. And, you know, sometimes it stumps you and I don't know how to do this. But even the smallest thing, you know, the keys, you know, when listen, if my brother is a charismatic Roman Catholic, and when he gets an answer to prayer, come on. You know, I was there when I see the prayer happen and the answer to this, you know. I've got the 2 wardrobes, one for each of my children when they were younger. And he asked for a discount. And he gave him 15% off, you know. And he said, you know, we're going to get a discount. Because I just said to the Lord, and I'm going, how is he going to get this? And he's got some faith, but I was kind of wondering if it's Syrophoenician Roman Centurion faith. I have to start talking to him more about stuff. But, you know, I wait for that opportunity too, you know. And, you know, ever since we prayed for my pain, because I prayed about this pain I had, I it didn't go away. And then I said, well, I don't feel so good. I'm going to start fasting and just drink liquids, you know, maybe have some soup here and there. It started getting a little better. And, you know, it's still a little bit there, but, you know, I just go ahead with going to work. You know, I'm not going to go to some doctor for this, you know. I haven't been to a doctor for years, and I give credit to the Lord for all that. And, you know, we all have some sort of struggle, you know, and, you know, I remember being a very boisterous, very bold speaking out when I was in denominationalism. And, It's kind of like I don't have to speak out. You know, you get your eyes rolled at you at work because, you know, I've been working in the same place for 34 years now. And they all pretty much know what I do when I sit in a corner over there and start reading from my little book. And, you know, I'm saddened that the one I used to go and talk to a lot is now retired. Hopefully he is going to have some progress in the Lord. Anyway, I'm sorry that I went off on a tangent here. It's, but I guess, you know, it has to do with hearing of faith, and it's not the letter of the word. It's not, you know, like in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if I can recall there. It's not something that's on a letter or engraved in stone. It's something written on your heart. And that's what the covenant says too. It's got to be written on your heart for you to obey. You know, like, why not obey? You know, like, obey the Lord. And you get into these places, you know. The children took me out for Father's Day. They did buy me a beer, but, you know, I still, you know, say grace over the food I eat, you know, and it's sanctified in plants. And, you know, I don't go to bars or anything, but I, you know, do have, on occasion like that, a beer, you know, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. If I'm praying over this beer to sanctify and cleanse it, and I'm having my chimichanga, and I finally found a restaurant where you can have a really good one. Anyway, I sometimes wonder, you know, like, what does that mean, you know, where it says in the Great Commission of Mark, if they drink anything odd, or if they take up serpents, it shall not harm them. I just sometimes go, well, you know, am I supposed to just shut everything down around me and not hear what people are saying? Because, you know, if it's not coming off of the news in the internet, or if you're in the bank seeing it on the news TV in the bank, I went to the bank today, same reason I mentioned it was payday. And you go, well, that can't affect me, but I can do that to all that stuff. But this person who's talking to me, I don't know him. And I know these people don't know the Lord. Can they infect me? I don't think so. You know, why would the Lord let him infect me? You know, why would he gave me something odd to drink from a person that might be a work colleague. You know? I'm still trying to figure out the taking up serpents. I know it's not going snake hunting, so I kind of hope someone would help me there.
Hey, snake hunt. Yep. All right, that was a good testimony. Anybody else? Dave were talking about. Why don't you shake your head yes for I ain't said nothing yet.
I was going to say, I thought David covered this last teaching so well on law and the spiritual law and the Judaic law a little bit. Because I kind of think that's where the Lord, when he prompted me a week ago about that, that's probably where that's kind of what was on his mind. And so David spoke it actually in this last teaching.
Yes, he did.
Really,
he did. He did. Yeah, he did. He covered it real good. One of the things he said to me, Dave, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Did I interrupt you? I'm sorry. You go ahead.
No. I got in late because we went out and finally got a car for my son. Finally got
one.
Yeah, praise the Lord. I'm done. And I tell you, I think the Lord was working me down because I put on Google Maps to get me there, and it took me in this big old round circle. And I thought, what is going on? And this guy's place was like an hour away, it seemed like. And it only took me like a half hour to get home. So I don't know. I'm not too happy with Google right now. So I'm kind of suspicious about them. But we got it.
GPS will do that to you sometimes when they were doing the chemtrails. It'd mess that thing up. One time when me and David was going to the hospital, we ended up behind a strip mall somewhere. It said that we were at the hospital. We were miles away from the hospital.
It actually had me do a circle. I mean, a big circle. I'm out in the middle of nowhere. In the cornfield, I'm finally coming around. I think, and Aaron says, "We've been here already." I says, "No, not really, have we?" And then we went by a house I recognized. I says, "Sure enough, here I am. I'm doing this big circle. And what is going on?" I couldn't believe it. So, anyways, I'm venting.
Amen. Well, you got that over with anyway. That's good.
Got that out of the way. Thank you, Jesus. That was hard. I never knew a tall person had trouble getting into a vehicle until this time. I didn't know they had those issues. Now I know. So, all right.
Let's ask a question here on the same subject of the old law and the new commandments. What is the difference? Let me just ask that. What is the difference? There are several differences, but there's some main ones. What's the difference between the new covenant and the old covenant? Okay, Missy. It's kind of like hitting a button thing on those contestant shows. Missy, hit first.
The old covenant is a shadow. And the new covenant, you could say, or the New Testament, is the fulfillment of the shadow. Jesus said, "I didn't come to do away with the law; I came to fulfill it."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's the big one, I tell you. What else is it about the old covenant? And the new covenant, Dave.
Well, you know, I just want to say a couple things David said, and I want to listen to this some more again. And because you could still break the new covenant laws, just like an old covenant law. You can break them. You know, you can fall out of grace by not following what was said in the new covenant. I said, what? You can't do that? Well, yes, you can. It says your intent to break the covenant, you're falling out of grace with the covenant. Does that mean you're reprobated? I'm not going there, but you cannot expect to be in the new covenant if you don't plan on following and growing in it. You're not going to be covered under the covenant. There is a covenant. It's a legal agreement. And I'm not making it put us under the law in any way. I am not doing that. But if we don't abide by the covenant, which is abiding in Christ, and walking in newness of life, and believing in the promises, and we most everybody here has a baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I don't want to say we're not the sinners like the Gentiles were, but you know, we got the power of the Holy Spirit to help us walk the walk better and talk the talk better. So for us to really break the covenant, I mean, that's terrible for us. We just realized that, hey, this was something we screwed up on, and it just hammers us, and we repent right away, and we don't want to do it again, and we're just shaking in our boots because we fear God. But there's other people that are going to swear their new Christian covenant, new covenant Christians, excuse me, and they're not going to give it a thought about breaking anything in the covenant. Matter of fact, they probably don't even know what's in it. You know, they really aren't informed. And if they were informed, it'd become almost legalistic to them to have to keep it because they don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit in order to walk it out. And they're not, you know, they don't have that grace yet to walk it out. So even though the old covenant had laws, and it had a lot of moral laws, and a lot of things they had to try to keep, but David made the point that even though they had them, they couldn't keep them. And their heart really wasn't their desire to keep them sometimes. That's the difference with the new covenant. God's putting that in our heart to do these things and walk in the walk and walk in his way. He's given us that grace to do these things and to come in obedience. And it's not like we're doing the Ten Commandments. We're not doing the law, but we're doing what it is he desires. And we're trying to walk pleasing to this Holy Spirit. And we're trying to not let the flesh run and rule our life. And we're trying to keep the flesh down so the spirit man can grow. They didn't have that covenant agreement. They didn't have anything near that in the Old Testament. But there are still these laws. We still have these fundamental ideas of what's right and what's wrong, where we've got to walk and what we can or can't do. The difference is now we have an ability to walk in Christ and not violate them and walk in newness of life and be without sin. The old covenant people didn't have that ability. They didn't have that spirit of God in them. And even then you see, well, if the Lord wants to teach you a lesson just like a Job, or even like David to go out and number Israel, he'll do it. And if he wants to get your attention so that he can, you know, chastise you and make you repent, or that's the way he maybe will humble you or something, he'll do that. But he's not doing it to reprobate you. And I think that's what upset God mostly about this old covenant, that he was saying it couldn't fulfill righteousness. It couldn't bring people in that relationship and that steadfastness he needed is, and he wanted his people to be in with him in order to have this mindset that's in Christ Jesus. They just could not have that. They there's some that really desired it. I'm sure they would, but then what happens is too is you end up with a Pharisees too that were so legalistic and watched every little thing and they were so, it'd be hard to be around them because they would be watching every little thing you did and ready to correct you. And we're not like that. Only one time we step in like that is when somebody's really out and they've crossed the line. Then we step in and say something. But most of the time we're pretty graceful with people. Like I'll say, for instance, they started committing adultery. And that's what I was talking about, that real liberal mindset of Christians. Hey, come on over and have a beer. My wife's going to have her friends over, and we're going to have a good time. And I thought about something that would have been fun, and I should have added to that. When I said that last week, the guy would have said, well, I really appreciate the idea, and I don't mind having a beer, but, do you mind if I bring my boyfriend instead? And the guy would say, oh, that's fine. We're a free, open church. We can believe for those things. You know, you're covered. It's all under the blood. There's churches out there that do that. And they're trying to do that. They're trying to bring the world into the church and make it okay. That's not under the new covenant. That's breaking the new covenant. And there's a lot of people out there that do break the new covenant, along with the Judaizers. They're breaking the new covenant. They're not following after Jesus. They're following after what they believe is going to make them in right standing with God rather than just repent and believe. So, and I just kind of talked a little bit, but some of that's what David covered. But at the same time, we have to be mindful that, yeah, we do have rules and regulations and laws that we abide by in the church. And we're not doing it to be legalistic. We're not doing it to put people under the condemnation. But there is a acceptable way to be. And there's an unacceptable way. And so Jesus didn't do away with the law, but he's allowing us to fulfill it with the Holy Spirit baptism, with himself, and get us in a closeness relationship with God where, hey, we don't want to violate laws. We don't want to do anything that makes us think that we're making God not happy with us. That's the difference. That's our whole premise that makes us so much more fulfilling it and rewarding to be with the Lord, because you know we're walking after with the Spirit as much as we can, and it pleases us in our hearts to do that, and it pleases Him too. So I think there's a mindset that might be, I don't know for sure, but I think that might be a little difference. Since I didn't grow up Jewish, I don't know. I'd like to have a Jewish person on here and hear what they have to say, their perspective, if they have that kind of mindset. But anyways, I just talked a little bit.
Okay. What's the big difference between the old covenant and the new covenant? We all know. It's very simple. Yeah, man. Andrew was first. He hit the button first. Go ahead, Andrew.
Oh, no. I just forgot what to say.
I think you
okay, 7 points. Now I remember.
lost the money on that one.
Oh, man. That was a real blank there for a second. And now I remember. Okay. So, the old covenant that he had with Abraham, you know, was before the law. So, our covenant is very much like that covenant Abraham got, but it's fulfilled in Christ Jesus now. So we have his blessings, and we have our shield and our exceedingly great reward. And that exceedingly great reward, he was on that cross and went through the resurrection for us. So we got new life now. That's an exceedingly great reward. And it's he's our shield, you know. So he protects us, but he also gives us a shield of faith too. There are items we will not go beyond in faith to disobey God. You know, and I always like that verse too. Faith that worketh love, you know, and that's in Galatians too. And, as for the covenant, the Lord walked this covenant for us. You know, I don't know if you guys remember, there's one church there, they have all these stations of the cross right on the wall there. He walked right through the city, he fell a couple of times there, and he was nailed to that cross. He went through incredible beating before it. All this stuff for us, the crown of thorns, nails in his hands, you know. That's the works of your hands now. This is the blood pouring out there. It's going to be in accordance to his life. Your walk, the nails through his feet, you know. The spear in his side there is
now the new heart you're going to get. You're going to have not this fleshy heart. And everything done there actually killed him. So he cut off all that flesh for us. So we don't have flesh in our baptism. We have the new man. We're not the old man. We're not the flesh man. But I think the best way I can put it is we got to catch up to the new man. That's what I have to say anyway.
Okay. All right. Dave, I think Missy was, I don't know if you, did you still want to say something, Missy? Okay, go ahead. I'll come back to you, Dave, in just a second.
Well, the law was required of the flesh. You know, it required your works, which really also the law was given for a time to be a tutor, I guess you could say, basically to show us that, you know, show us our sin. But then when Jesus came, like I said earlier, he said he didn't come to do away with the law, but fulfill the law. He completely fulfilled it all, basically on the cross, you know, his death and resurrection. But what also came to me is when you repent and believe in the Lord, and especially, you know, which the Lord also tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, also the fulfilling of that law is him in us as the Spirit fulfilling it, you know, by the power of the Spirit, obeying it by the power of the Spirit. So one's law showing you, you know, you have no righteousness, and one is grace, you know. It's God. He did it everything, and we don't have to do anything. One requires works, and one requires rest, resting in the accomplished work of what he did for us. So, and letting him do it all through us in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, Dave.
I think a real good point Dave brought out, David, was the law was brought out to reduce and try to keep down the amount of sin that was being done. It was trying to control sin. But the new covenant, the old covenant was trying to do that. Our new covenant is there to take away sin.
Bingo.
To take away. Huh? I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I said bingo.
I just say,
One covers sin, one takes away sin. Go ahead.
What a difference that is. I mean, you think about it, that's a night and day difference, isn't it? That's pretty cool. I'll let you continue, Michael, but I thought that was fascinating then, to see that that's a big difference too. So that's huge.
Yeah, that's the main thing between the Old Testament covenant and the New Testament covenant is that the Old Testament, all it could do was cover sin with the blood of goats and bulls and all that kind of stuff. But the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross took it away. And all we have to do is have faith in it, that it is being taken away. I like what David said in that. Yeah, it was. If you haven't listened to that study, that he did Sunday, I recommend it highly. He said that breaking the old covenant is a type and a shadow of breaking the new covenant, and this is done by disobeying the commandments, and that always brings judgment. So in the New Testament, when we willfully disobey God, look for a spanking, because you're going to get it. But he only does it to turn you back. And then after you confess your sin, the great thing about it is, you know, you're going to get spanked. Look for it. You know, but you still can have faith to get through it. And he'll do it. In the old covenant, you know, you were put out. There's this.
Yes. I mean, you made the statement. You did something that was wrong, whatever, it was bad. You didn't have the sacrifice. You were out. You're done.
Could have gotten stoned. But anyway, and then we talk about the Abrahamic covenant, which is different than the Old Testament covenant as well. It's actually an extension of the New Covenant, or the New Covenant is an extension of the Abrahamic covenant, and that's all by faith, isn't it? It's everything about faith, because David goes through all of that. So he has some good, I don't know, if you listen to it, you know that he has a lot of scriptures that he goes through in this Bible study. And one of the ones that he goes through is Leviticus 26, 14 through 46. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but if you'll read that thing with the mindset of today's goings on in the faction in the government, you'll understand what's going on. But if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall reject my statutes, and if your soul abhor mine ordinances, so that you will not do all my commandments, but break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will appoint terror over you, even consumption and fever, that shall consume the eyes and make the soul to pine away. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be smitten before your enemy. They that hate you shall rule over you, and you shall flee when none pursueth you. And if ye will not yet for these things hearken unto me, then I will chastise you seven times more for your sins. And he goes on, and he goes on, and he goes on. And what's interesting about this, he says he talks about your sons and your daughters. Anyway, he talks about the sons and the daughters being taken away. How many of you know when you get in the faction that your whole family is affected? Your whole family, he takes out your whole family. We know a family that was really a nice family that went into faction when daddy went into a faction. Now they've got a teenage son that's tatted up. We've got, I don't know, he looks a mess. Another one, same way, he had a teenage boy and a teenage daughter, both of them messed up big time. That's what happens when you disobey God. Your whole family is affected. The whole family is, and that's what God is telling us in his word here. In the new covenant, if you disobey God willfully, he's going to spank you. He's going to spank you and everything that's around you until you turn back to him. And once you turn back to him, then he'll start, you know, collecting things back. Anyway, the new covenant is a covenant that brings people to holiness. Where the old covenant couldn't bring you to holiness. All it could do is cover the sin. Now we can believe God for that. So what is that? 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, where you look in the mirror and you see Jesus. You're transformed from glory to glory. Well, from star glory to moon glory to sun glory, if you keep looking at Jesus in the mirror when you go, you know. That's all we have to do is thank Jesus, thank Jesus, thank Jesus. And to do that, to thank Jesus all the time, you have to look at Jesus all the time. You have to go in the Word. You have to get in the Word and make sure that you understand him. David, look, I watch David, makes me so mad sometimes, but I can watch him, and he's in the Word all the time, you know, and this condemnation just sets in, you know, and I said, oh my goodness. But I've learned not to check myself with him, because if I do that, I will get into condemnation. So I just, I do what I can when I can, because I have other duties that I do. But I do, I stay in the Word a lot too, but not like David does. It's hard, y'all. Y'all pray for me. That's all I can say. Y'all just pray for me. Lord of God. No, it's not. We have a good time. Go ahead, John.
I was just thinking about that mirror, and what is sin? Sin is missing the mark. And when we look in the mirror and walk away and forget what manner of new creation we are, that's missing the mark, because we have gone from, you know, the new covenant and the blood, the one sacrifice that God has made through Jesus has been a seed that was sown that is reaping a harvest of sons and daughters of God. And we are a new creation. We're no longer a human being that was born dead, that had to be born again. Now we are a new creation that has to be defined by what God says it is. We're not flesh anymore, because our spirit man rules over the flesh, and we have to live out of our spirit in total dependence on the Holy Spirit. We can't get by on our brains. We can't get by on stature in the world or intelligence or any other gift. We have to get by on what he gives us, and forgetting that connection and forgetting that we're a new creation. You know, he's trying to put new wine in a new wineskin. And if we go back to those paradigms and we listen to these preachers talk about so glad to be in the house of God, God does not live in a house made with human hands. And we have to remember the difference of where God lives now. He lives in us. We are the hope of Christ. You know, it's the hope of Christ manifesting glory in us. Christ crucified and us crucified with him. So, you know, trying to plug into that and stay fixed on that and reminded of this new creation life and this new definition of who we are and how to offer that to other people. You know, I need all the help I can get, and I need y'all's help trying to figure it out, or trying to not figure it out, to tell you the truth, because it's a matter of fact. You know, all of these promises and all of these things that he says are more fact than the car I'm sitting in, or the trees I'm looking at, or the lightning that's flashing in this physical world. The fact of who God says we are is more real than our physical surroundings. So if we can stay fixed on that, we are going to be giving relief to the world that's groaning and crying out for the manifestation of the sons of God. And that's where we're at.
Amen. Well put. Thank you, Lord. Marilyn, you have an angel back behind you, or sitting on your head or something. I don't know what the deal is there. Uh-huh.
You can speak up.
There, you got left out.
You got an angel. Yeah.
It's there all the time.
Is that a blue light back there behind Scraps?
It's there all the time. It's hard to sleep at night.
Okay, praise God. Thank you, Lord.
I liked your interpretation of it better, Michael. Okay. I'll have your interpretation. I'll have it in the spirit.
Amen. I was trying to do it with my flashlight. I said, I could do that. I was putting that flashlight around and couldn't get it to come out and do what it's supposed to do. Y'all see it? Anyway.
You did do that earlier then, didn't you?
Oh, that wasn't me.
I was going, man, am I seeing things?
Oh, my. Yeah, that was me. I had the flashlight going. I said, I'm going to mess with somebody's mind. Okay. Yeah, it's been a good discussion. If y'all want to, we'll carry it on a little further. Listen to that Bible study that David had, and you'll get a lot out of it. It's really good. I'm going to listen to it again if I can get the time. I know I can. And it's good to have you on, William. Maybe you can't talk. I don't know, but it's good to have you on. Dirk and Paula, where's Joe? Is he here? Wasn't he here? Oh, there you are, Joe Britt. Yeah, we got William on there. He's from South Africa also. So he just decided to come on tonight. That's great. Good to see you, buddy. Okay. Do we need to pray about anything before we close out tonight? Anything we need to pray about? iPad Judy, you look like you've ready to go here, girl. Okay. William says, hey, everybody. Oh, wait a minute. Let me tell you what Dirk and Paula said. As Pat gave his message, this was earlier, I had a great sense of how many people would be mightily blessed, encouraged, and drawn close to Jesus. Okay. Well, praise God. Thank you, Lord. I believe it too. Go ahead, Gano.
I was just calling with a prayer request for my daughter that I took to the airport this afternoon only to find out that they really didn't have the seats on the plane they thought they had. And so now she's driving from Omaha to Denver tonight. And I would just like prayer for her that she would be able to stay awake because she has worked really hard to help me this week. And she's very tired, I know, and to drive, she probably won't get there till like 3 a.m. She left Omaha around 7. So,
what's her name? Do you know?
Stacy.
Stacy, okay. Well, Lord, we lift up Stacy to you. Father, we thank you that your angels in that car with her. We praise you, Father, for keeping her alert and awake. And not only that, Lord, work on her heart. Work on her heart to draw her closer to you, Father. And we praise you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that she's going to get home safely and super energized by your spirit, Father. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for protecting Stacy all the way home in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all believe
thank
that?
You, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
It is done.
Yes, it is. And I just pray that she see and that she feel his presence while she's traveling. And
Amen.
Just draw closer to him. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.
Yeah. Fill her up with your Holy Spirit, Father. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Amen. Well, Lord, we just thank you again for another good night. We just kind of had a nice Holy Spirit-led meeting, and it was good, and I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that everybody's going to listen to the broadcast and get some more out of it, get some more revelation about the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And, Father, we just thank you that you're putting it in our hearts also, and we thank you for it, Father. We ask, Lord, that you be with us the next couple of days. Protect us from any kind of nefarious activity of the deep state. We thank you, Lord, that we have the Passover and we don't have to worry about that stuff. And Lord, we thank you, your angels are protecting us wherever we go. And Lord, let us always be mindful of you in us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. Give us a good night's sleep tonight, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for all the prayers that were answered tonight. We just praise you, Father, for doing that for all of us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Pat. Let tonight be a quick night for him. Let it be one that is filled with your Holy Spirit. And not only that, Lord, the joy that you placed in Pat's heart. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that there's no anxiousness in Joe either. We praise you, Father, that he's in your rest and things are being taken care of because your Spirit is leading him. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, folks. Let's see here. We'll mute everybody. All right.